Actually, it was my dad who was most recently with you, I think. It's been 15 months since I was here. And I can't believe that. It's like last January, I think, last time I was here with you. And, you know, the older you get, the faster time goes. Isn't it amazing how that is? How Christmas seems to be every 2 weeks now? Get older and older and older. And I have to tell y'all that this has just been the most amazing season of my life. And wow, it's just been so awesome what God has done in our family since moving to Virginia last year. It's just been awesome. And actually, today I'm supposed to be preaching in Florida. I'm supposed to be there right now. And that entire trip just sort of fell apart. And it was your pastor who I emailed 3 days ago and said, "Hey, I got nowhere to be," who opened up this door. And I can't think of maybe one or two guys that I know that would do that for me and for the ministry. And so you have such a wonderful man of God leading you. You need to know that. You just need to know that he's special. And there's not very many pastors that would do that. So, before I ramble on forever, I just have to tell you just what God has done in the last 3 weeks in my life. I was asked to speak at a conservative Christian school's spiritual emphasis week. This is it'll be 2 weeks tomorrow, 2 weeks ago tomorrow, that we started, and I was supposed to do chapels daily Monday through Friday for this Christian school, which is actually one of the largest Christian schools in Virginia. The high school alone is about 550 students, and it was just the high school. And we had a chance to see the Passion of Christ on Monday as a school and as a speaker. I wanted to be there because the week, you know, I was sort of just going to be speaking every day after that. And so Tuesday morning we started at the school, and Tuesday's chapel went from 8:55 to noon, and Wednesday's chapel went from 8:55 to 1:30. And Thursday's chapel went from 8:55 to 2:30. And Friday's chapel went from 8:55 to dismissal. It's hard to say, and I'd have a week to tell you everything that happened, but you know, people have asked me since then, "Well, you know, what do you do in church for 6 hours? You know, what do a bunch of teenagers do in church for 6 hours?" And the thing was so Spirit-led. Just an incredible move of God, like a wave just blew through that place. And the greatest testimonies that came out of the week were many, and I mean many, young men, seniors, juniors, standing up, taking the microphone Thursday and Friday, saying, I've been in this school 10 years, been in this school my whole life, and I have never accepted Christ until today, you know, until this week. And by the end of the week, there were kids in that school that were actually being used by the enemy to bring destruction there, standing up, just weeping, asking for forgiveness for the principal, to apologizing to teachers. Kids that were known atheists, a young man who in front of my daughter took a Bible in Bible class, threw it on the floor, spit on it, and stepped on it, and actually cursed God, on Friday wrote me a note at about 11:30. And a little note was real simple. It was during praise and worship. Said, "Pastor Mike, I'm ready. I'm ready now." And I was able to take that young man out, who was from Korea, into the hallway. And that young man just got gloriously saved. Just incredible. And this is one of the leaders in this school. And since then, he's become like an evangelist. The whole school is freaking out, you know. That the school black sheep, you know, got saved. And, I mean, no one can believe it. I don't even think the teachers believe it. But, you know, just a very, an ultra-conservative school that just allowed for God to show up. And what an incredible week. What an incredible time. So many young people, over 50 kids, gave their heart to the Lord that week for the first time. For the first time. And many, many, most of the kids recommitted their lives. And just to see in this altar, I got to just take a picture with me now, about 375 kids dancing at the altar for like 4 hours. in a concert. I mean, that's what I saw. It was so awesome, y'all. Anyway, it's just been it's just been a great season for us. My family as well. My son is in Bible school, and my daughters are doing great. My wife is doing great. Some of you have been praying for her father, and you know, he's still very ill in the last stages of his fight with cancer, and really needs a touch from the Lord today. He's got a food tube, and he's got a hole here and a hole here, and everything here has been bypassed. And so, you know, the world and the doctors have given him no hope, but our God in one touch, amen, can lift him up. And he weighs about 99 pounds now. He lives in Calvert County, not far from here, in Dunkirk, Maryland. So if you could remember him, his name is Mike Dove. He loves the Lord. You know, he's only 61, and he's not ready to go home. So keep on praying for him. On the Teen Challenge front, wow, you know, we received so many phone calls for help. And it's just an honor to be able to be on the front lines. And I want to thank you. I'm one of the missionaries, you know, on the wall. My name is out there. And I can testify to you today that the money that you have sent to the ministry has kept us alive, especially in these initial stages. This church has been just a tremendous blessing and support to our family and to the ministry. And these guys behind me are all special. And if you don't send me, then they're not here today. No way. Matter of fact, all three of these guys would probably be gone. They definitely wouldn't be serving the Lord had we not gone to Fredericksburg and followed the call of God. So I want to let these guys just share what God's doing briefly in their lives in this season. Johnny, where you at? John, this is John. His wife is here today. And Teresa, can give her a hand. She got up early. Yeah. She lives out in the mountains in Virginia, so she got up at 5 o'clock in the morning to come to be at church today with her children and their daughters downstairs. This is her son. And I'm going to let these guys just share what God's doing in their lives. And so, I'll tell you what. Why don't you go first, Larry, since you've been here. This is your third, I think. Second or third in the last 3 years.
Good morning. Like you said, my name is Larry, and I have been here three times today. And I asked God last night, what can I say? I've been here already. They've heard my testimony, but it's a blessing and an honor to stand here for the third time. How many Teen Challenge guys have been here three times and been able to share their testimony? I know you wonder what happens to these guys, and it's just a blessing to be able to say I'm still serving God, and you know, I'm still pressing on. There's a verse in Luke 9:62. It talks about, well, 61 is a guy who wants to follow Jesus, but he says, let me go say goodbye to my family first. And Jesus says, anyone who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is not fit for service in the kingdom of God. And yeah, that scripture stayed in my heart because my family, they're not serving God. My mom's really in bad shape. My sister, I do have a sister that's saved now. She's serving God, but I made a decision to follow Jesus, and I can't turn back. No matter what happens, I can pray for them, but that's all I can do. And, you know, it's really a blessing to be here. I told Pastor Mike the other day, I was so excited when he told me we were coming here. I got really happy. I was up at 6:30 this morning. I just like being here. You know, you have freedom to worship here, and I like the way the services ran. And I thank you for supporting Teen Challenge. And I don't think I'd be here today if it weren't for God sending me to Teen Challenge and putting it on Pastor Mike's heart to open up a reentry. God's doing great things in my life. I talked about starting up a Berean Bible study the last time I was here. I did start the class. I'm in my first class, and I'm working really hard to pay off debt. So my class is going really slow, probably until the wintertime when I can, when work slacks off and I'll get a lot of time to start studying. But I stick to my verse in Philippians 1:6. It says, being confident of this, that he who began a good work will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. God bless you.
Well, my name's Earl, and we do greatly appreciate all of you today. And it's good to be here. Originally, I'm from Baltimore. I'm 19 years old, and in September 2002, I entered Teen Challenge, lost and hopeless and coming off of heroin and PCP and just lost, didn't have anything, no hope, just wanted to die. And God reached out and tapped me on the shoulder, and he set me free. Amen. And I've been here in Virginia with Pastor Mike for 3 months. And after graduating Teen Challenge in December, the day after Christmas, and like Larry, my family's at home, and not all of them are serving the Lord. The last 3 months, God has been good. I've tasted and I've seen, I've heard the whole shebang. God has provided me a car. He's enabled me to get a bank account, which I never thought I'd get. A job, and it's just great. I'm working with a bunch of guys who are just like I used to be. And I get to show them the freedom in Christ. And also, throughout my experience in Teen Challenge, I knew God had called me to preach the gospel. And I'd like to say recently, God had opened a door for me to go back home in Baltimore on the streets and street box preach, which is like you go on the streets and you preach to homeless ministry and you testify. And He's alive today, and he's set me free. And he's been so good. So good. glory to God. We appreciate you. Thank you.
My name is John, and I'm 33 years old. And I've been with Pastor Mike in Fredericksburg for about 3 or 4 weeks now. I came to Pastor Mike. I was pretty much at the bottom of my life. About 20 years of drug addiction. Even after coming to know the Lord and not having the skills to figure out how to break those patterns that had been created after many years. Just thinking the other day of what I wanted to share, and God laid this on my heart, was the instance out of John 11 when Jesus raised Lazarus. How Jesus went and he provided the power to give Lazarus life, but then he turned around to those that loved him and to his family, and he told them to loose him. And I remember hearing a story years ago how when they wrapped a body in that culture, how they wrapped it so tightly and each finger was intricately wrapped individually and so forth. And how that Lazarus had been in the tomb for 4 days and he stunk and he was rotting. And, you know, it says that many people went there to the tomb and followed him there. And there probably wasn't too many people there that wanted that job of unwrapping him and loosening him. It really took the people that had a special love for Lazarus. And God has given all of us new life. But it takes a special love for a person like Mike Zello to take us men that have been rotting and stinking and to unwrap us and loose us from the grave clothes. And I think about how they had to follow the trail. If you guys are in construction, you have an extension cord or rope or something that's all tangled up. You're trying to untangle it. You have to follow that in. You have to follow the trail. And that's what Mike does. And I'm here to tell you, after 20 years of the same patterns, there was two different times, in 1995 and 1998, when I went away to a program. And I spent 4 months one time and 8 months the other time, and I came back and I did the same thing immediately, was because those places were just time away. And I'm telling you, it's not just time away. It takes a man to be involved with you, to intimately sit down and get to know you and your past and see the patterns that have been created in your life and to follow those trails and to unwrap you. And Mike Zell has that gift. When he sat down and counseled me, it's been effective and it's been precise and it's working. And so I want to encourage all of you all that have seed in Teen Challenge of Fredericksburg and the life of Mike Zella that your seed is producing a great harvest. I know I have a purpose in the kingdom of God. My wife and my two children all have a purpose that it would be nearly impossible for them to fulfill without me to lead them. And so you all have a part in that. And I just want to encourage you, when you sow into this ministry, that your seed is producing a great harvest. And I want to thank you.
Yes, that was good. Well, you can stay up with me. Let's pray for the guys. Can we do that? Hey, guys, come on down to the altar. And Teresa, will you come up and bring your son? And I don't know, it won't be able to get your daughter, but will y'all come up and meet us at the altar? And let's pray for this family right here, especially, and then for these two guys, and then I'll come up and preach. Okay? Come on, come on, come on, come on. Some of y'all want to lead out, you just go right ahead. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, thank you. Come on, grab that word today, y'all. Let's open it up to the New Testament here, the book of James. Book of James, chapter 5, and Isaiah, chapter 53. We want to try to get a finger in both. And we will read Isaiah 53 first, and then we'll go to James chapter 5. What a wonderful chapter. A wonderful book. Wonderful words here. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 1. Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot, like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. Like one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds, we are healed. Amen? Let's go to the book of James here, chapter 5. Verse 13, I want to talk to you today about healing, about spiritual healing, about emotional healing, and about physical healing. And there's no greater place to read it than in James chapter 5. Starting in verse 13, is any one of you in trouble? Question mark. He should pray. That's a good word, right? Is any one of you in trouble? You should pray. You ever been in trouble? When our kids were little, that was a real funny word. And wasn't spoken very often, but when it was spoken, boy, the kids knew, boy. They just knew it was coming. And our kids are the kind of kids, I have three teenagers now. I have my own teen challenge. Hallelujah. Anybody out there feeling that? 13, 16, 19 now. Yeah. I remember when they were, you know, 1, 3, and 6. And our kids were always good kids, great kids, until they got in the car. I'm telling you, it's like a demon in our car, man. As soon as the door closed, it's like 62 demons jumped out of the carpet, and they jumped in our kids. And they just go crazy in the car. They were just so great in church and great everywhere. But as soon as the doors closed, they just run wild. And I'm telling you, there was one time when my wife pulled the car over on 95. I thought she was going to kill them all. I thought she was going to kill me too. But there is one thing that we would always say to our kids that would just straighten it up. And that was, you're going to get in trouble. You're going to get in trouble. And that would be like, whoa, 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 whoa. And then, of course, when you cross the line, you're in trouble now. It's on, baby. There's no gonna. You're hit. And when your dad gets home, you're really hit. You're physically hit. You're in trouble. Well, we've all been there. Come on, all of us. You ever been to court? Woo-hoo. For you? Come on, y'all. Come on. That old speeding ticket got you and you thought, man, I'm going to fight this thing. Watch this. I'm not paying nothing. Then you go in there and end up paying more than you would if you just would have paid the ticket. Come on. You feeling me? That's a terrible feeling, isn't it, when you know you're in trouble? And you got this guy sitting up there and he's powerful, boy. And he controls your pocketbook, controls your checkbook. What he says goes, or you're not driving. Some of you have been in worse trouble than that. Courtroom is a funny place. I have spent many hours in court. Thank God, usually with other people representing them. But I've been in court, you know, in some really terrible cases and had, you know, to the emotion. You know, a lot of people in there with stomachs that are sick. You just turn a lot of tears in the courtroom. And I mean, it's just not a good feeling to know that you're in trouble. You know? It's that thing that comes over you when the blue lights come on and you're looking in your rearview mirror. Right? Oh, no, I'm in trouble. And there's no worse trouble than to be separated from God. I want to say that one more time. There's no worse trouble than to be separated from the living God. Now, this is spelled out for us in Luke chapter 15. And let's turn to it real quick. And it's a story that you're familiar with and one I'm sure that you've heard preached many times. We have in Luke chapter 15 is a parable that Jesus told about a young man who, well, something happened. Some spirit jumped on him. And in Luke chapter 15, verse 11, we learn that there's a man, he's got two sons. And it was the younger one, in verse 12, who said to his father, "Give me my share of the estate. I don't want to wait till you die. I want what's coming to me. I want it now. And I'm leaving." Double blow here. First one is, you know, hey, dad, I'm rolling. But dad, not only am I rolling, but I want to roll with everything I got coming to me. So I'll take what I'll take it, and I'll take it now. And I'll go now. And, you know, the announcement to separate himself from his father. Now, and I got to give it to this father. I mean, I have a son who's 19. I consider him to be a young man. And if he called me today and said, "Hey, Dad, I'm leaving," I'd say, "Hasta la vista, baby. It's been wonderful, son. You pay the car insurance. You know, this is great, man. Give me back my Shell card." It's a great dad here, man. I mean, you know. Dad, I want what's coming to me. I want it now. And there's really there's no dialogue here. So he divided up his estate. We serve a God who gives us a free will. It's part of the deal. We have a free will. And so dad goes along with it. And, well, not long after that, the younger son got all together that he had and set off for a distant country. And there he squandered his wealth in wild living. I'll tell you, anymore it seems like we're living in Sodom and Gomorrah, doesn't it? Living in a country that celebrates wild living. We celebrate it. And this is what wild living does. Verse 14, after he had spent everything, amen? There was a severe famine in that country, and he began to be in need. Maybe the first time in this young man's life, he began to be in need. And so in need, he hires himself out to a citizen of that country, and he is sent to feed pigs. That's his new job. No longer is he a rich, young, cool punk in his convertible. Now he's working on a farm. And it's worse than that. He longs to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating. I tell you, the devil will take you further than you ever want to go. Cause you to do things you never thought you would do in a million years. Go places you thought you'd never go. Say things you thought you'd never say. It makes it look real good in the beginning, but the end is always death and destruction. Always. And he longed to fill his stomach with pig's food, but no one gave him anything. To me, this is the definition of a young man in trouble. Yeah, he's in trouble. I'm in real trouble now. Verse 17, when he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired men have food to spare? And I'm starving to death here. I will set out and I will go back to my father. And I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me one of your hired men.' And so he got up, went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. And he ran to his son. And he threw his arms around him and he kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But his father said, quick, bring the best robe. Put it on him. A ring on his finger, sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf, kill it. Let's have a feast. Let's celebrate, for this son of mine was dead and now he is alive again. He was lost and now he's found. And there was a great celebration. What a wonderful thing it is to know that when we're in trouble, all we have to do is pray. Even this young man in with the pigs thinks to himself, if I can just pray. If I can just, this is what I'll say. I'll say to my father, I don't belong to be your son anymore, but just try to, will you take me? He's thinking about his prayer. If you just, okay. And then he gets to the place where Dad, I'm no longer worthy to be your son. But I separated myself from you and I just want to feel close again. I want to get back. I'll be a servant. I'll stay at a distance. But we serve an awesome God, don't we? He says, no, you're my son. You'll always be my son. It doesn't matter how far off you go. With one prayer, you can always come back. Remember that. James chapter 5. Second of the two, is anyone happy? Question mark. Let him sing songs of praise. Let's turn to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16, we have a calling of God here on two wonderful men, Paul and Silas, who receive a vision. Chapter 16, they are spoken to. Immediately after the vision, they set off at once to go from Macedonia, concluding that God had called them to preach in verse 10. Verse 11, we have the conversion of Lydia. We have people getting saved. Verse 16, we have a demon-possessed child being delivered. So we got a vision, we got a calling, we got salvation, we got deliverance. We're on a roll, baby. We're doing what God has called us to do. Everything is going wonderful. The full-time ministry is for us. Hallelujah. Young lady gets delivered in verse 18. I mean, in one moment, spirit leaves her, gone. Verse 19 is where the vision and the call gets real interesting. When the owners of the slave girl realized that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas, dragged them before the marketplace to face the authorities. And they brought them before the magistrates and said, these men are Jews and they're throwing our city into an uproar by advocating customs unlawful for us Romans to accept or to practice. Verse 22, the crowd joined in. Wait, the crowd is supposed to be coming and, you know, finding Jesus being delivered. But the crowd joins the attack against Paul and Silas. And the magistrates have them ordered to be stripped and beaten. Notice that in the original vision and call, there is nothing said about being stripped and beaten. And after, in verse 23, they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison. Were bad enough that they were beaten, now they're thrown in prison. And they were fastened in the inner cell, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. They put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. So now they go from preaching, salvation, deliverance to in the inner cell of the prison, having been severely flogged, which, you know, is usually enough to kill somebody. Usually they flog them, let them go because they die anyway. That's not enough. They're put in the inner cell and then fastened. And at that moment, I would have been down there with a letter, you know, dear God, you never told me it was going to be like this. They never taught me this in Bible school. When I took my ordination test, flogging was not part of the process. You know, sometimes we get disappointed, don't we? It's easy when things don't go the way we think they're going to go. in life or in ministry and will walk in with the Lord to get discouraged. And I've seen in a lot of believers, discouragement turn into bitterness. Bitterness turn into anger. Anger turn into resentment. And then they walk away. They walk away. All because things didn't go the way they thought they were going to go. They got hurt. These guys were hurting. I mean, they were hurting. But what they did is amazing to me. That in verse 25, at midnight, Paul and Silas were not complaining. They were praying and singing hymns to God so that the other prisoners could hear them. These guys were having a praise and worship service in the prison after they were beaten. I mean, I would have had a big attitude here. Big dude. I would have been like, you let me out now. I didn't do anything. All I did, I laid hands on this girl. It's not like they robbed a bank. But they got hurt and, it was unjust what happened to them. Sometimes things happen to us that are unjust. Sure, there are people in this room that have been hurt before, even by other Christians. I think we can learn something from this story, and that is no matter what we're going through, we got to praise Him. No matter what, whatever we're going through, we got to praise Him. We praise Him in the good, right? Why? Because it's easy to praise Him in the good. We praise Him in the bad. We praise Him no matter what we're going through. Because no matter what we're going through, He's still the same. I got a leg here. I got a left leg here. You ever seen it? Did I show it to you before? I'll show you again. It's changed. It always changes. Hang in there. It's very sexy. There it is. There's my leg. See? Now, as you can see, it's got some zippers on it. Actually, they're everywhere. The result of, lots of doctors cutting on me. But you look at that leg. You see, before this man pulled his pant leg up, I didn't know. I didn't know there was anything wrong with his leg. Well, now you all know that there was something wrong with this leg. And there's one thing that you all know that you're always going to remember. And that there was a time when you see this, it's common sense. There was a time when I got hurt, right? There was definitely a season, something happened in my life, and this leg got hurt. But today, I'm able to walk. I can move. I can move around. And you don't know. You have no clue. But this is what happens when we push through our hurt. This is what happens. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Real easy to do that when you're happy. But what about when you're hurt? When you're down? When you're out? And I want to encourage y'all, the power of praise is an awesome thing. To praise Him no matter what you're going through will bring you through emotional healing like you can't imagine. Yes, you're going to have scars. Yes, sometimes it takes time. But the bottom line is God wants to use all of your hurt and all of your pain to bring healing to other people. It's very quiet. Amen? Amen. I will prove that to you right now. Suddenly there was a violent earthquake and the foundations of the prison were shaken. Within 2 seconds, a jailer woke up, saw the prison doors open, took a sword to kill himself. Right after that, wonderful words. Believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, not only you, but your whole household. As a result, the jailer brought them to his house, had a meal, and his whole family was filled with joy because they had come to believe in God. There's no jailer, there's no jailer's family getting saved if there's bitterness at the midnight hour. Because there's praise in the midst of emotional pain and destructive physical pain, this awful situation. Because there's praise in that,
we have the original Jailhouse Rock. Amen? I don't know. Maybe Elvis read this and wrote the song. I don't know. I doubt it, but you never know. Bottom line is there's another family added to the kingdom because these two guys, in the midst of their turmoil and their trial, were just praising Him. Not because they felt like it, but because He was worthy. Let's go back to the book of James now. Chapter 5. Last one. Physical healing. Is any one of you sick? Verse 14. Should call for the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. I have to read that one more time. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. And if he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Prayers, righteous man, woman, are powerful and effective. They work. They work. Let's turn to the book of Matthew in chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. Verse 14. And when Jesus came into Peter's house, he saw Peter's mother-in-law lying in bed with a fever. She was sick. Then he touched her hand, and the fever left her. And she got up and began to wait on him. And when evening came, many who were demon-possessed were brought to him. And he drove out the spirits with a word and healed all the sick. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. Do you remember what we started with? We end with it. He took up our infirmities and carried our diseases. By his stripes, we're healed. I don't know how it all works, you know, the physical healing thing. I don't know. All I know is that I have felt His hand touch my body in my life and heal me. Has that ever happened to anyone else here? Raise your hand right now. Hi. Look. More than half of the people in this room at some point in their life have felt the living God touched them. And as a result, something happened physically in your body to release you from pain, suffering, disease. And as a result, He's got to get the glory. He's got to get the glory. Physical healing is a wonderful thing. It's a great benefit. It's a sign to people who don't believe. It's also great for us because it increases our faith when we get healed. We see other people heal. Emotional healing is a little more tricky, more personal. You know, there are people in this room that have been so devastated, so hurt by others. And only a living, loving God could heal your heart, your broken heart. And for me, the greatest healing of all is spiritual, because that's what gets us into heaven. Someone coming to an altar and saying, "Oh God, I just want to come back home. I just want to be close to you. I just want to know you. Will you touch me?" The neat thing is that He's here for all of us today. So it doesn't matter if it's spiritual, emotional, or physical. One touch from Him. One touch. And it's over. Amen? One reminded of a woman in Mark chapter 5. Wonderful woman. Who spent all she had on doctors, right? But instead of getting better, she only got thought to herself, if I could just get one touch, just one touch. It was her faith, just one touch. She had to press through the crowd. She had to press through all the distractions. But in one touch, she was made whole. Would you stand with me today? Just bow your heads where you are. Close your eyes. We invite you, Holy Spirit, in this room to move through these aisles and these chairs, to move through the lives in this room. If you're here today, there's brokenness and pain in your life, there's hurt. You're feeling like you need a healing in your life, spiritually, like you're far from God. Maybe you've been living with the pigs. It's been a long, long time since you've been to this altar, maybe never. I said, Lord, I just need to feel your touch again. I'm coming home. Please forgive me. I'm coming home. I want to be your son again. In this moment, there'd be nothing greater to happen than you to come to your senses in this moment and say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, I need a spiritual healing today. Maybe you're here today and you need a touch from your heart, emotional touch. I don't know what you're going through. Maybe your marriage needs to be healed, your relationships. I don't know. All I know is that God is able to do anything. And He will take your brokenness and your pain, and He'll make something beautiful out of it. Something beautiful. And if you're here and you need a touch in your body, I'm here. I need a touch in my body today. If you're here and you need a touch in your body, the Lord, just with one touch of one finger from His hand, and you're released from it. Will you just release your faith today? What all you have inside of you, release it. Release it. And let us believe God in these next few moments at this altar for miracles. Do you believe that? You believe it? For miracles. I want to just open up the entire sanctuary here and just let's make the sanctuary an altar. If you're here and you need a healing, I want you to come now and find a place on your knees at this altar. Elders of the church will come and pray for you. We'll anoint you with oil. Spiritual, emotional, physical. Your marriage is in trouble. Both of you, come on up. Whatever it is, if you just need a touch, you want to come back home today, you're saying, Lord, it's been so long, and here I am. I have not cried at this altar in years, but here I am, Lord. Touch me. If we can just turn this room into an altar and just spend a season in His presence, I believe that He would be pleased. So would you, where you are now, will you just spin around, find a place on your knees, or come to this altar and pray? If you're feeling released today, will you come and lay hands on people and pray for them where they are? Let's just turn around right where we are now and get on our knees and spend a season in God's presence and in prayer. Hallelujah. Thank you.
before we leave today, I'm going to ask you to stand with us financially on behalf of this ministry. There are lots of things that we can't do personally that we can invest in. One of the things you heard today, if you had ears to hear, would be right out of Matthew 25, where Jesus commends the saints by saying, I was a stranger and you took me in. And our brother is taking them in. And we stand with them on a monthly basis and are delighted to have Mike come and share the good report of what God is doing. So make your checks out to Prag. Leave them at the door on your way out. And all of them will be assimilated and dispatched to this wonderful ministry. If you're disposed to stick around for lunch, grab whatever you brought and meet us downstairs. But as you have occasion, give as you go and be blessed in your going.